Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
All right, this is the second Sunday in Advent, and so we're going to light the second purple candle. And the second little purple candle is called the Bethlehem candle, and it represents love, God's love. Amen. And I remember when I was growing up, I think all of us in some way experienced something similar, where we would get ourselves into a tight spot, or up a tree, or whatever. I remember one time we had to move the elevator out of the barn, and this was a machine that we would put the bales of hay on, so we'd load them off of the hay wagon after they were baled from the field, and then it would ride up the belt and it would go into the hayloft, and out somebody up there would grab them and start stacking them in the hayloft. And so this machine was stored in a shed. Now, in the city, when we think of a shed, we think of something maybe 8 foot by 10 feet or something like that. But out on the farm, a shed might be a couple thousand square feet. But it was long enough and high enough so that the end of it was up in the rafters. And so you couldn't pull it out because it was actually above the doorway, but the wheels of it were in the middle so that you could level it out, and then you could pull it out through the door. And so my cousin Jackie and myself and my father and my uncle went out to the shed to pull this thing out. I mean, we couldn't even get a tractor hooked up to it while it was in the shed. And so when we tried to lift it on one end, it was too heavy for us to lift. And so my dad told my cousin and I, go ahead and run up there, and you get on the other end, and that'll counterbalance it, and then we'll be able to lift it up. And so Jackie and I ran up on the other end, and we weren't enough to counterbalance it. And so they said, well, go ahead and stand up there and push on the rafter, and maybe that'll be enough to get it to come down. And obviously it was, because we pushed and they lifted and the thing came down, and Jackie and I were left swinging on the rafters up there. And it was, quite a fall to the ground. And so then my uncle and my father, I had to just stay there. We'll get you down, and we'll put this thing back underneath you. And so they swung it underneath me, and I was able to get back on it. But before they could get it under Jackie, he let go. And he fell down into the hopper of the combine. And fortunately, he had his feet together, and he hit the edge and just right into the hopper. If his feet would have been apart, it probably would have cut him in half. So he got a little banged up, and they had to take him off to the hospital. But I was hanging on there because my dad told me, we're going to get this thing back underneath you, and I knew that. My dad wasn't going to put me in any danger. I knew that my father loved me, and so I was hanging on for everything that I could. And sure enough, he came through, and I was safe. Poor Jackie. he had a little trip to the doctor, to the hospital. But, you know, we are motivated because of love. You know, we as parents are motivated to do for our children. As husbands and wives, we're motivated to do for each other. And this morning when we celebrate the lighting of the second Advent candle, we remember God's love. And even though it wasn't in any of the church literature, in any of the readings of the ancient church or anything today, the thing that just came to my heart was John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Last week we read the passage in Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And it's that love that God had for us that motivated Him to send His Son Jesus to be born into this world. And matter of fact, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, I have that in your bulletin also. It says, "But Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And by this God showed how much He loved us." And I just wanted to take this one step further. When we were still sinners, God sent Jesus into this world to be born. When you look at But, you know, we have a saying here in the United States, when somebody does something and you want to find out why they did it, you say, "Follow the money." Okay, what benefit did they have to do this? And so many times when I begin to just scratch the surface of God's love and understand all that He has done for me and for all of us, I ask myself, what's the benefit for Him? What's in it for Him? Amen? Why would God send Jesus into this world? Why would Jesus leave the realms of glory, as we sing in the Christmas song? Why would He do all of that to be born in a hovel, surrounded by the poorest of people, rejected by the rulers, rejected by the religious leaders, rejected by anybody of any kind of importance? Why would God do that? What's in it for Him? And you know what? I can't think of a thing. He doesn't gain anything. Even after we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, I mean, it's like He has done all of this for our salvation. So we go ahead, we get saved, we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and then we really start being a headache to Him. Amen? Because now we know about prayer. And so we're coming in prayer, "Oh God, do this, and God, do that, and God, we need this, and God, and all of this." And to be honest with you, I can't see an upside for our Creator Father to send Jesus into this world. There's no money. There's nothing that we can give Him except ourselves. And then, before we start thinking too highly of ourselves, that ain't such a good deal for the Father either, is it? Amen? Amen. I remember when I was young and foolish, a baby Christian, "God, boy, you sure got a good deal when you got me. Look at all the things that I can do." And then I grow up a little bit in the Lord, and like the Apostle Paul, I can only say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who is able to deliver me from this body of bondage?" Amen? And so on this second Sunday of Advent, we celebrate love. The love that was manifest in Bethlehem. And that's the next thing that I wanted to talk about. You know, if God wanted to do something great, you think he would go to one of the great cities of the time? I mean, even Jerusalem at the time wasn't that great of a city. But little Bethlehem, nothing was in Bethlehem. Bethlehem happened to be the birthplace of King David, but that was about it. I mean, it was a little podunk, one stop sign, farming village in the middle of nowhere. And yet that is where God decided to reveal his love for us. Amen? And there's a message in there for each of us, is that our surroundings don't matter. It's not the city wherein we live. It's not the house or the apartment where we reside. It is the love of God that we allow to shine through our lives that makes a difference. Amen? I'm reminded that in the advent, in the years leading up to the birth of Jesus, as that star hung in the sky for such a long period of time, that nobody really noticed that star. The religious people for whom the star was sent completely missed that star. All right? That star was in the sky for probably 2 or 3 years after the birth of Jesus. The wise men arriving found Mary and the young boy, the child, maybe 2 or 3 years old, living in a house. They weren't there in the stable as our nativity scenes show. Okay? That star had hung in that sky for a couple of years. Yet nobody noticed, except a handful of strangers in a foreign land who knew that something special was happening. And you know, as we gather here this morning and we look at each other, maybe we've become too complacent in the fellowship that we enjoy. And we say, oh, that's Bob over there, or that's Jesse or Joy over there, or that's whomever. And we don't recognize that each one of us sitting here today is a miracle, is a star hanging in the sky to light the way to whoever will look and follow. And so just as nobody in Jerusalem, just a few miles away from Bethlehem, nobody looked up and noticed anything different about that star. Nobody in the whole land of Israel noticed anything different about that star. But from hundreds of miles away, people that knew that there was a promise yet to come saw that star and responded. And in the same way, the people living here around us, our neighbors, the folks that we see at the store, let them see that light in our lives. Maybe nobody else recognizes that light. Now, how many of us have children that really and truly recognize and appreciate the Christ in us? You know, they know us so well that if they do recognize the Christ in us, it's just, oh, well, that's mom or dad. How many of our next door neighbors think there's anything special about us? Sometimes the ones living closest to us miss the light that is shining in our lives. And so I thank God for a handful of wise men 2,000 years ago that saw that light and knew there was something special. And I also thank God for the people that live around us here that see this light. They know we're up here. Yeah, there may be a few people that don't know that, you know, they've only been living here a month or so and they don't know that we're having church here. But there are people that they know that we're here. Our light is shining. What will they find when they follow the light. Like the wise men of old, will they find the Christ child? Or will they find just something else? Plain old religion like everybody else has. And so I thank God that this is the Bethlehem candle and that God chose to reveal His love through a baby born in Bethlehem. And He advertised it to the world with a star that hung in the skies over that little insignificant town that a few people recognize there is something that's going on here. You know, I'm reminded also, as we talk about the Bethlehem candle, that the Bible tells us that there were some shepherds that were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And they didn't see the star. The Bible doesn't say anything about them seeing the star. But they heard the glorious testimony of the angels. And they decided, you know what, we can't sit here any longer. We can't remain out here by our campfire. We've got to go find out what this message is all about. And so they went and they saw the Christ child. And they knelt and they worshipped Him. And they wanted, the Bible says they went back to wherever they were going, wondering, what great wonder is this that we have seen? And as we in this church, we have to be like those angels that just split the evening sky with their songs. We have to go out to where the people are. The things that we do in this church just aren't church activities. Like, we're getting ready to have another breakfast, another waffle breakfast. Why do we do that? We don't charge any money for it. Why do we do that? Because just like the angels had to leave heaven to come to a eastern sky in the middle of the night to proclaim that the Christ is born, we have to leave the comfort of our little church room, building, and we have to go out there and tell them, tell the rest of the people, show the rest of the people that there is a Christ, that there is a Savior, that there is someone who loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, God sent Jesus to be born and to die for us. And so this second candle, the candle of love, the Bethlehem candle, that should motivate us to take this faith, to take this salvation that we have in here, and to share it with those around us. Amen.
Here comes another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. Lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.